Do you know how much cash back you're leaving on the table for settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cash back on your groceries for the next 30 years. Just think of all that cash back you can get on those groceries. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today, so the future you will thank you for it. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? A getaway with the kids? A spa day for yourself? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. And don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This is Ask Lisa, a podcast to help people understand the psychology of parenting now in the midst of a pandemic. Psychologist Dr. Lisa DeMore, author of two New York Times best-selling parenting books, takes your questions. And I'm co-host Rena Ninen, a journalist and mom of two. Some of what we talk about comes from raising children ourselves. Most of the time, I'll be getting answers to your parenting questions. So send your questions to Ask Lisa at drlisademore.com. Episode 18, Can Online Socializing Go Too Far? How are you holding up?
You know, that's exactly right. That's what we ask people now, right? Not like, how are you? I'm asking people the same thing. Like, how you holding up? How you doing? I'm okay. But I think like everybody, just tired of the pandemic. It's just so wearing and so tedious, even if we're past the initial sense of crisis around it.
Yeah.
How are you?
You know, I feel hope because there are all these vaccines, and I know the switch doesn't get turned on once they get distributed, right? It takes a little bit of time, but I feel more optimistic, but I hate winters. I'm a Florida girl who does not know why I'm in the Northeast, and there's so much that I am dreading. And you know, when you go through this and you're trying to figure out, okay, how do you pull yourself out when you know it's going to be a long road ahead? Like, how do you cope? What do you do?
I think right now it's very day to day. And I know we've talked about coping so much in the podcast. And one of the things I've been thinking about a lot is that, you know, good coping is also in its own way kind of tedious. Like, to make sure that you are getting good exercise and make sure that you're eating well and preserve your sleep, that's its own project and its own sense of effort. And I've been sort of toying with this metaphor, and it's corny, but I think it works, which is, for me, you know, the pandemic is like this extremely long rainstorm, and good coping feels like rain gear. That, you know, when you have to go out in the rain, it's sort of a pain to put on all your rain gear, you know, to put on your jacket, you know, your raincoat, and get your umbrella and get your good boots or whatever. But it makes it easier to stand out in the rain. And I think that's how I am trying to continue to rally to use my good coping, is to think, this is the equivalent of putting on my raincoat and getting my umbrella and putting on my boots, is to really be disciplined about getting myself to bed and to really be disciplined about, you know, making sure I'm walking enough. But for me, it feels day to day to just make myself continue to use good coping, because that's what we can do right now.
And also just, I think for me, it's basic things. It just sometimes making it through the day is like a huge achievement, you know? And I realize on my to-do list, we talk a lot about to-do lists. I don't check one thing off. Like, I just feel like I don't check one thing off, but there are maybe other things around the house or things that needed to be sorted where
that just comes first. But it also makes me think about socializing and you know, we've allowed certain things, like, for instance, the use of television or Xbox or whatever it is, that you've just become lenient. You've really helped me understand, like, you shouldn't be, this is not the time to be militant about this. And we got this letter from this mom who has a similar question about socializing and when is too much too much. Hey, Lisa, I'm worried about my parenting choices and my 14-year-old daughter. With the craziness of the pandemic, we've pretty much allowed our daughter to be on her phone all of the time. That's all in caps, by the way. Our reasoning is that as long as her grades are staying up and her attitude is good, we don't have a problem with her FaceTiming, snapping, etc. She's always been good about talking to us, keeping us in the loop about the things she sees and does. I'm not really worried about her making bad choices. So it's hard to say what I am worried about. So I guess it's that she stays up till 1 or 2 in the morning and sleeps until noonish and is on her phone constantly. She doesn't have anywhere to be, so it really just doesn't feel normal. But then what does these days? Am I screwing her up by letting her stay up till all hours of the night? Thanks. What do you think? I mean, I've always been told that you've got to, sleep is important, right? You got to stick to sleep.
It is important. And what's interesting is there's so much in this letter. One is like, yep, the kid is doing what she's supposed to do. She's a good kid. She's, you know, well-behaved. She's, you know, communicative with her parents. Her grades are high. Her attitude's good. Like, I can see why the parents like, I don't want to mess with this, right? Especially in the pandemic. One of the things I'm thinking is, how can she sleep till noon every day? You know, like, what is the school schedule that she has that makes that possible? But it does sound like it sounds like in the letter, the parent is saying that she stays up, the child stays up till 1 or 2 in the morning and then is sleeping till about noon. So in some ways, I'm like, well, she's actually getting a decent amount of sleep.
Good point.
That's a lot of late night socializing, right? And so there's, I think one way to slice it is, I do have this question, like, how come this kid does not have to be anywhere before noon? But apparently she doesn't, and she's on top of school. So we'll just leave that be. Different schools are dealing with things in different ways. We should play this out in the way I think it is playing out in a lot of families' homes, where sleep is, in fact, being compromised. So let's come back to that. For this child, the questions that to me feel like we want to tease apart are, you know, okay, so presuming she's getting enough sleep, what does it mean to have her schedule so shifted, which is something that I think a lot of families were dealing with, especially in the summer when kids, you know, were staying up late and then sleeping in late, and is that okay? So that's one question. And then the second question is, should she be on her phone all the time? All right, should that really be the main, in fact, it sounds like total way that she's getting downtime?
But Lisa, do you know any teen who isn't on their phone all the time? Like, every time I'm at a grocery store or somewhere, I see teens, they're all texting, they're on their phone, right? So, like...
Right, right.
I don't have a teen. I don't quite know where to stand on that.
It is a really difficult parenting issue when you have a teenager under normal conditions, right? And then in the pandemic. And that's really what the heart of this question is, you know, if they cannot see their friends in person, how... You know, do we have any sturdy ground for saying you need to get away from your phone or you need to take a break from your phone? And I think this is a really legit question right now. And so certainly, just to address the sleep question off the top, which may or may not be an issue in this, you know, in this particular family, it doesn't sound like it is. It just sounds like this, you know, is a strange configuration of the circadian cycle. But yes, for sure, we can put down the hammer on phones and technology if they're disrupting sleep. And I feel very strongly about this. I'm actually generally pretty relaxed about a lot of things around kids and technology, right up to the question of sleep and probably pornography being the other one where I get really rigid and really kind of, you know, do what you can to prevent exposure to pornography. But it shouldn't disrupt sleep. So if you have a kiddo who is taking phone or tech into their bedroom and you know they are using it when they're supposed to be sleeping, I would say that is a fight worth having. So in terms of that question, Rena, about when do we definitely separate teens from their phones or tweens from their phones, when they're supposed to be sleeping, that is definitely a time and definitely something that parents should be modeling themselves. You know, they, we should also not let technology get in the way of our sleep.
So if you put the sleep issue aside for a second, how much is too much time on the phone? Like, when should you really be regulating? When is it a problem?
Okay, so this is interesting, right? Because what this parent describes is what sounds like socializing, right? Snapping and texting and being in touch with friends. And they don't really have another option right now for being with their peers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then it gets into this question of, do we tell them they can't? Or we tell them they've got to slow down or stop? And I really like the way this parent is reasoning, which is basically, she's a good kid, doing the right things, you know, talking to us. And I can see why it's been hard to set some limits. And so the way to think about it would be first, making sure the child is actually doing other stuff too, right? Like, they do need to have variety in their lives beyond digital school or, you know, whatever version of school there is and phones. So there does need to be some sense of helping out around the house or helping out around the community and being physically active and engaged with the environment a little bit beyond, you know, school and phone. And I think parents can reasonably hold that expectation and have some values around what we think it's important for everyone to do in the course of a day and yeah. Model that and then hold kids to that. But I do think there's a lot of room here for saying that the technology is in some ways a tremendous gift to young people right now. And you know, this is a 14-year-old. They want to be with their peers. And can you imagine, Rena, if we had had the pandemic when we were teenagers and could not see our friends and then we're having to wrangle about the one family phone line to connect with our friends?
It's true. And for some of us, it was corded.
Yes.
We didn't even have cordless at one point.
Yes, exactly. So I think there's really room for latitude, especially with all the caveats that this parent has put in place, right? Good kid, trustworthy. I mean, all kids are good, but, you know, well-behaved kid and trustworthy and, you know, handling things well at school. I think with all of those caveats, a lot of room to connect with peers digitally is a fair thing.
So, you know, in this letter, the mom's like, you know, I'm good with her. I'm okay. The problem isn't being online. Like, she's kind of okay with that. She trusts. She's got good judgment. She's proven to have good judgment. What do you do if you've got a kid who's online socially all the time, but you don't quite trust their judgment?
Yeah, right. That's when it gets a lot more interesting and a lot
very,
more complicated. Well, and most kids are impulsive.
Right. It's that age, right?
It's that age.
It comes with the territory.
And again, like looking back, Rena, like, boy, I did some dumb stuff that I am so glad was basically limited to the analog universe that, you know, I lived in then and did not have a life and did not have a record and did not get, was not shareable. And the problem, of course, is that now, you know, kids are still kids and kids still do dumb things. And sometimes they do really dumb things impulsively online and don't show good judgment. And it definitely has broader ramifications. So how do we get through that as parents?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so here's a question for you. Do either of your kids have phones yet? They're 8 and 9. Where are you on that?
You know, they don't have phones, but because of Xbox, he does have iCloud messaging. So he's constantly checking the iCloud messaging now, which is on my account. And it's a way of communicating. And then at one point this week or the week before, I was just like, get off this. You guys are texting all the time. But then I realized, you know, they're talking to each other. It's mm-hmm. totally harmless, totally mm-hmm. harmless. They're making fun of someone who, you know, in their group who doesn't like cheddar. It's like a total joke about something. And, you know, is that such a bad thing? Like, they're communicating. They have a social connection there. They all feel good about it. Like, so why do I feel this need to shut it down?
Well, and it's interesting. You mentioned like there was sort of like some teasing or something going on, but you're like, you
yeah.
trust that it's like, you know, it's okay and playful
yeah.
and fun. And I think that's actually an interesting piece to pick up, because sometimes when adults look at how kids are using online socializing, what doesn't look okay to us actually is okay to them and is playful and fun and silly. and comfortable, you know, between kids. And it's sometimes like it's happened where I've been involved with stuff where kids will bring me, you know, the text thread where they feel they were harmed in the text thread, and they show me the nasty thing that was said to them. But I look through the whole text thread. I'm like, whoa, what about all this stuff you said? And they're like, oh, no, that was fine, right? Like, and you're like, really? Right. I don't know. It looks pretty bad to me. And so I think part of the challenge in this, as we sort of start to, you know, pull this apart and tease this apart, is our assessment of what's okay for them to be doing online the same as their assessment of what's okay to be doing online? And I think we can say sometimes we're not in alignment. But then the question is, well, who's right? Okay, so sometimes we're going to be right, and we also have to be open to the possibility that sometimes we don't get it, and what looks a little funky to us is actually totally how they communicate and comfortable for them. Well, so the answer there, I think, is to ask and to talk about it, right? So, you know, you saw your son's thread and you might be like, wait, explain this to me. Like, this doesn't look, you know, I'm sure I trust you totally that you say like it was playful and fine. But I can imagine a situation where a parent might be, you know, or I might be even looking at a text thread a kid has brought me and saying like, explain to me why this is okay. And to call the question, you know, not to shut it down, but to call the question and to see the value of calling the question, because we want kids to reflect. We want them to think about how they're communicating, and that's a way to get those conversations started.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Ask Lisa podcast. Stitch Fix sends style so good, you can feel it. They deliver all the confidence that comes from a truly amazing outfit without any of the work. You don't have to get into your car. You don't have to go through hangers and figure out what section to find what you're looking for. It's so simple. What my stylist does is they take my wardrobe to the next level. She shows me what works for me. She helps me discover new things that I like that I wouldn't have picked up if I was browsing online or even walking through a store. As the seasons change, you want different things. And when there are big events in your life that you want to dress up for, Stitch Fix has you covered. And I also love that I've got everyday staples from Stitch Fix that feel good on, that I am constantly reaching for in my wardrobe. Style that makes you feel as good as you look. You can get started today at stitchfix.com/AskLisa. That's stitchfix.com/AskLisa. stitchfix.com/AskLisa.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Ask Lisa podcast. Lisa, I love your column in the New York Times that just came out. The headline is How Teens Use Downtime to Connect, Distract, or Reflect. How does downtime help for teens, especially in this pandemic?
Okay, so that's right. Okay, so that's the other issue. So there's first the question of whether or not they're using social media appropriately by their standards or ours. And then there's the question about even if they are using it appropriately, is it the best way to take a break? Mm-hmm. And I had so much fun writing this column. It's the most recent one, and we'll put it in the show notes. Because what I got to think through in writing it, Rena, was the options that are in fact available to young people when they have openings in their time, whether it's like 20 minutes, you know, between classes, or here come, you know, another round of break, so they're going to have a lot of time on their hands. And the default for a lot of teenagers, and I will also say I think for a lot of adults, is that we just hop online. You know, we just kind of go looking to see what's there.
Yeah.
And it's worth really unpacking the pros and cons of the downtime choices we make. And so there are a lot of upsides for teens of hopping online. It's like they miss their friends, they are able to connect. That is a wonderful thing. The piece that I start to get into in that column is, but sometimes they hop online and it doesn't actually make them feel better. You know, that they see images of kids who are hanging out that either shouldn't be hanging out or they wish they were there hanging out with them or both. Or they get like a yucky news headline because teenagers and tweens, like they get all their news often through their, you know, it's all like mixed in with their social media. And so one of the things that I think the parent in this letter might do, the parents in general might do, is to just ask teenagers just to say, look, when you need a break, how often is it that you hop online and you get what you're looking for versus you get something you didn't want? Like just to ask it as a straight up question.
Yeah. You also mentioned in this article, which I found fascinating, is getting lost in distractions, which I find I do all day long without intentionally wanting to do. But it felt so good to hear you say that actually getting lost in distractions, it's not really a bad thing.
No, not at all. And you know, it's part of it is a form of coping. Like part of it is how we're going to get through the pandemic is just, you know, checking out and losing ourselves in, you know, fantastic TV or whatever. In researching this article, I talked to this, you know, terrific psychologist, Peggy Zaccola, down at the Ohio University. And she made an excellent point that I included, that distractions are especially useful if you're stuck in a worry loop. So if you have a kiddo or you yourself are ruminating about something, just there's something that you're just grinding on in your mind and getting nowhere and just feeling terrible, distractions are actually a way to take a break, you know, just to switch your channels in a way. And what she talked about, and I love this, is it has a physiological impact that when we're worrying, we are releasing all sorts of stress hormones into our bloodstream. And when we switch the channel, right, from our worries to whatever, you know, absorbing distraction we choose, it actually stops that process of dumping stress hormones into our bloodstream, which we need sometimes. Like we need to take a biological break from stress, and distractions can do that. And that also may be a place where social media for kids doesn't work as well as maybe just losing themselves in a TV show, because it may actually add to their stress sometimes, even if that's not why they got on it or wasn't what they were hoping for when they got on it.
Wow. So you mean, I keep listening, and I don't know why, to Tim McGraw on Spotify over and over and over again. And so now I'm wondering, is this my body and mind's way of coping with what I'm going through in this moment? Like,
sure. Probably.
Music has been a great escape for me, just listening to something. But you're saying that this, creating this space for your mind to go somewhere, is actually okay, and you recommend it?
Definitely. I mean, definitely in normal times, definitely in the context of the pandemic. And, you know, especially if you're stuck in a mental rut, it can help you get out of that rut. But the other thing you're describing also, I mean, music is a really powerful influence on our mood. And I find my mood hard to regulate in the pandemic. You know, I can find myself feeling kind of down or sad much more than I normally do. I was in a super good mood yesterday, and I was like, wow, I wonder why I'm in such a good mood. And it was interesting to notice myself wondering why I would be in such a good mood. I think it was because we got a huge amount of snow, and I love snow, unlike you.
That's nice. Yeah, unlike me. Yeah.
But then the other thing I touch on in this article, and this for me was like so fun to research for this piece, was this idea, this third option. So you've got, you know, connection as an option for when we have downtime. And that's what this, you know, person who wrote the letter is talking about, is that her kid likes to connect. And that's where all the downtime goes. I'm also lobbying for distraction as a use of downtime, right? Just if we need a break and we need a predictable relief, right? You don't know for sure that social media is always going to provide the relief you need. And then the third kind of break I talk about has to do with reflection. And there's this terrific body of research on this idea of soft fascination, which are things that we do that are interesting but not that interesting. So stuff like going for a walk in a place that you know well, or taking a shower. But I also think it's a lot of stuff like washing dishes or folding laundry.
Who has fascination with that? I don't
understand. Well, so exactly. Soft fascination, meaning it's not that interesting. But what's cool about it, and I love the researchers on this, and I interview one of them for the piece, it leaves mind space to think about stuff. It takes only so much bandwidth to wash dishes or fold laundry or go for a walk, and then it leaves open bandwidth to start to think through things or solve problems or reflect on stuff. And that can actually help us to clear up some of the mental clutter that we feel. And so the way I think we might approach this with teenagers, who especially those who are like attached to their phones, might be to say, absolutely, if you need to connect with your friends, like that's probably where it's at. And I know you probably want to connect with your friends. If you're feeling stuck in a mental rut, go take a break. Like, go, like, watch something that you know is going to be wonderful. Like, you don't always know what you're going to find online. And if you're feeling like your mind is just, like, you have too many mental tabs open, don't open more by getting on your phone. Like, go for a walk. Or here, hey, fold laundry with me. Like, I'm sure they'll think that's awesome. but it's fun. And I think all of this applies to adults, too. It's fun to think about being a little bit more conscious in our decision making around, I've got some time, what is my mental and emotional need right now? And what's the break I can take that's going to suit that need well? And we should do it, and we should help our kids do it.
Hmm. So I want to wrap up and go back to her final question in this about talking about online socializing and when has it sort of gone too far. Her last thing is, am I screwing her up? How do you know when giving your child free rein online, socializing, is screwing them up? Like, what's the point you should be concerned? And when should you just learn to let go? Because you've taught me a lot about letting go with your child. Like, sometimes that's really what's needed.
Yeah. I mean, I love this parent who's like, am I screwing my kid up? I mean, I think that is sort of like, we worry about that as parents. Like,
all the time.
Yeah. Are you going to be talking about this in therapy for a long time? Okay, so how do you screw your kid up? Like, let's just name it. Okay, so here's how to screw your kid up with online socializing. Let me lay out some options. One, I think, would be is if, like, I just can't get enough of this. If you let it get in the way of sleep. Sleep holds everyone together. Everyone needs it. Sleep is my favorite, and we need to protect it. Another grounds for real concern is if what's happening socially is bad for your kid. So whether it means that they are engaged in socializing that is fundamentally harmful to them, harmful to others, or both. So they're getting, you know, cyberbullied or they're engaging in cyberbullying. I think that's grounds for concern. I also don't love it when kids are spending time online talking to people they don't know in real life. And I think that would be something that a parent would want to keep a close eye on. And if you think it's happening, I would say ask a lot of questions. Be really curious. Try to get a read on it. Consider limiting it. Get consultation on it. So in terms of like how to screw your kid up with online socializing, I would say let it interfere with sleep. Let them either be a jerk online or be victimized by jerks online. Or let them find themselves caught up in a universe that isn't connected to their real universe. That one you can hear the hesitation, like it's not always the worst thing in the world. And sometimes for kids who are, you know, unconventional in their communities, finding a community online can be a wonderful thing. But you can hear the big fat asterisk in my voice on that. Like that I would keep a close eye on. That's how to screw your kid up. That's what I would say.
Wow. I never thought we'd do a podcast about ways you can screw your child up in the middle of a pandemic. Oh. So, Lisa, in the day-to-day, what are we really supposed to do?
I think we need to be aware that our kids need a break and we need a break from whatever it is we're supposed to be doing. And we are all accomplishing and doing things in the pandemic, which is kind of amazing. And we take breaks. And especially our kids, often just hop online to take a break. And what I would say is keep a conversation going about whether the break is acting as a break, whether the teenager at the end of that break feels better, restored, connected, ready to get back to business, do the things they're supposed to do, or whether the break is taking it out of them. And that's when I think we want to watch that. And we just ask. Don't say, you do not seem to be happy being online socializing, so I'm shutting it down. I think we say, you seem pretty tired. Is everything going okay? Is hopping online, talking to your friends, is it doing for you what it should be doing for you? I think it's something like that.
So talking to them about it, asking without just shutting it down to shut it down without explanations and having a conversation.
Yeah, getting them to reflect. Is this serving me the way I want it to? And now you've got some other options you could offer, right? Do you want to go watch a show? Do you want to go for a walk? You know, that they need breaks. We need breaks, but we want to feel better at the end of them.
So true. So true. You think about that, and that's so important. Thank you very much.
You bet. What do you have for four children everywhere today, Rena?
You know, it got me thinking about socializing and online. So we're going to highlight crisistextline.org. And the crisis text line, it came out of dosomething.org. It's really the largest organization for young people and social change. And they've created this text line where it doesn't matter what you're going through. It's international. You can text someone and connect with a crisis counselor online. And so many of our children, ourselves even, we communicate with people by texting. So this is a way to reach out, get support online, and you don't have to pick up the phone or go see someone via Zoom. It's a way to connect and get help. It's crisistextline.org.
Terrific. Terrific.
So Lisa, what do you have for us for Parenting to Go?
So it is not easy to talk to kids about how they use digital technology because they use it so differently than we do, and it means something to them that it doesn't mean to us. And I think it's really tempting to be very judgy of how they use their social media.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, of course, tweens and teenagers can smell judgment at 100 yards, and it is not a good way to get a conversation going. And so what I would say to parents is anytime you have to talk with your kid about how they're using digital technology, start by telling yourself something which not everyone might agree with at first blush, but I'm going to totally stand by it, which is to say, if we had had access to the technology they have when we were teenagers, we would have used it exactly as they use it. And I know who I was as a teenager. I mean, I know how much I took the phone and wanted it all night. And Rena, do you remember when call waiting came out?
Right, like you could swap over and get the other call.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then you could have the phone all night because you tell your parents, like, no, I'll let you know if you get a call, right? Like, so I think tap into that part of your own memory if you can before rolling up on your kid to talk with them about how connected they feel to their technology and their friends through technology. And try to appreciate that as strange as their technology is, given, you know, if we compare it to what we had, we probably would have given our left arm as adolescents to have what they have. And that's a really good stance to try to have these conversations from.
That's a great perspective and one that I never would have thought to look at that way.
But you know it's true, right?
So true.
Yeah.
On so many levels. Thanks, Lisa. I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
And be sure to follow us at Ask Lisa Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Ask Lisa Podcast so you get the episodes just as soon as they drop. And send us your questions to AskLisa at drlisademore.com. And now a word from our lawyers. The advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional. If you're looking for additional resources, check out Lisa's website at drlisademore.com. We'll see you next week.